Welcome to Deception in the Last Days with your host, Randy Shelton. Randy is a member of the Biblical Discernment and Research Center. He has been studying cults and new religious movements for over 30 years. Join Randy as he discerns the deception going on now in the last days.
The article entitled, Trump Should Be Removed from Office, and this is a follow-up. As I was talking about the problems with Christianity today, relating in general to their many bad positions on many things, and actually we started a series some time ago, and based in part on T.A. McMahon's A Berean Exercise, Christian Magazine's articles, part one from the Berean Call, which dealt with Christianity Today and their support and promotion of the very unbiblical Alcoholics Anonymous movement. So, as I stated last week, it seems a bit providential that this whole event concerning their, ill-advised article, I call it, that took place and was in the news around the time I was finishing my series up. So, did not know that that was going to be a topic that Mark Galley, the editor of Christianity Today, was going to deal with. But anyway, we're going to look at some related information, other articles, other people who've chimed in, not only supporting Christianity Today, but also people who have supported the idea of impeaching the president. And I'm not talking about liberal secular Democrats. I'm talking about liberal fake Christian Democrats. And so we will be looking at some of those things coming up. When I say fake Christians, I don't, of course, mean to imply that I somehow have omniscient knowledge of all human beings' hearts. Of course, that would make me God, and I don't have that said knowledge. But I do inspect fruit, and I do understand that when people support wicked, evil things, you have to call into question whether or not they really have saving faith in Christ. And certainly I feel justified in calling them fake Christians if their practices, their words, their beliefs, their doctrines are not according to Scripture. So I would call that fake. Sort of like fake news is news that's fake. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, let me move on now to the next article that I wanted to look at. There was a article around the time of this Christianity Today article that it spoke of both Kay Warren, Rick Warren's wife, these liberal Christians, and Beth Moore. I meant to say Kay Warren. Okay, I think I did. Anyway, they had come out in an attack on the president. Well, Beth Moore followed up with her endorsement of the Christianity Today article. And that's the article here I have. It's from the Capstone Report. And so we want to look at Beth Moore's comments. And then we want to also look at a little bit more about Beth Moore and some of her beliefs and ideas for the sake of, sane people or Christians who want to know truth and not be fall into deception, of which, of course, my program is called Deception in the Last Days. There is so much, you can't hardly keep up with it all. But because Jesus warned in Matthew 24:4, beware lest any man deceive you, that's one of the characteristics of the end times. And that's why programs like mine and others, I believe, are important to raise the alarm and to be watchmen on the wall, to warn those who are less discerning, less knowledgeable of the spiritual deception, which is really all around us. Nothing to fear if you know the Lord, of course, but he does want you to exercise discernment and judgment. He wants you to study to show yourself approved and know the Word of God so you can test all things for yourself, that you don't have to completely rely on someone else. I trust that maybe my program is a bit helpful in training you in discernment, those of you who are listening. I've been a Christian since 1973 and was almost sucked into a variety of counterfeit, false, everything from fake Christian heretical things to non-Christian cults which claim to be Christian to occult things, you know, and even extreme Pentecostal things. So I really got quite the resume of the poor, nearly deceived individual that by the mercy and the grace of God I was kept, and I sit here today before you to testify to you, all glory to God for delivering me, because I was a clueless individual. I did not know the scripture at the time when I first came to know Christ to protect myself from all of the various deceptions that were around then. Of course, deception's been with us throughout the history of the world. The Bible, as you look at it in the Old Testament and the New, all the warnings about false teachings and false teachers and false prophets, etc. But it will be, according to Matthew 24:4, Jesus our Lord told us, it will be pretty much exponential. He didn't use that term, but he said, beware lest any man deceive you. That's going to be a characteristic, he was basically saying, of the end times, when the apostles asked what would be the signs of his coming, what would be the things that we should be looking for in the future, Jesus, they were saying. First thing he said, beware lest any man deceive you. Now, this article from the Cornerstone Report that I mentioned, it's entitled, Beth Moore Salutes the Attack on President Donald Trump. Southern Baptist, and this is, oh, you know, I said Capstone Report. Thank you. Thank you, Randy. No. Anyway, the Southern Baptist preacher, Bible teacher, Beth Moore, saluted Christianity Today for its editorial attack on the president. On Twitter, Moore said in response to the CT attack on Trump, my hat's off to you, Mark Galley. Respect. Hats off over the Christianity Today editorial, this author says. And by the way, I always like to name the author of the things I'm reading from, and I just may not have his or her name here, but it is from the Capstone Report. So, hats off over the Christianity Today editorial, the one that read like it was penned by a partisan hack. The one that was wrong on the facts about Ukraine, I commented a little bit about that last week, that editorial claimed there was an attempt to intimidate Ukraine when Ukraine's own leader and representative said they didn't feel pressured. And of course, the name Biden shows up in there, as we will not go down that rabbit trail, but I wanted to plug that in there since I mentioned it last week. Of course, nobody bothers with facts when you can celebrate a democratic victory. And that is really what's driving this whole Christianity Today editorial and the rally of big evangelicism. Big Eva. Oh, I like that. I just noticed that's parentheses Big Eva or Ava. That's a little that's a little short thing there for big evangelicism. Figures like Beth Moore. That's what's driving this whole Christianity Today editorial and the rally of big evangelicism, big Ava figures like Beth Moore. This is about attacking President Donald Trump. As Todd Starn said, some of our most conservative religious denominations have also been breached by sex and gender revolutionaries, open borders globalists, and race-baiting charlatans peddling identity politics. We are experiencing a dangerous infiltration in the Southern Baptist Convention. Our Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission works with the George Soros-funded Evangelical Immigration Table to throw open our borders. Now, this author is Southern Baptist, it appears, by his comments. I believe. But anyway, in fact, I know the Capstone Report is oriented towards Southern Baptists who are trying to help save the Southern Baptist Convention. Our seminaries are overrun with woke social justice warriors. We've got Southeastern celebrating Malcolm X. We've got Southern's provost saying he is a white supremacist because he is white. We've got Midwestern hiring an anti-Trump professor from Baylor. We've got Southwestern firing a conservative Latino Trump supporter because they didn't want him talking about biblical sexuality. This is a giant mess. Beth Moore's a big part of it. What else should we expect from a woman who thinks nationalism is a sin? And, of course, that's from the Capstone Report And of course, if you get this report, I'm not going to give you all of these links, but if you look up this report, the title that I gave you before, Beth Moore salutes attack on President Donald Trump, you can find these links for yourself. This is a woman celebrated by the SBC, or the Southern Baptist Convention, elites. Are you happy about the platform she's given in our Southern Baptist Convention life? There again, they mention our Southern Baptist Convention life. So the Capstone people are Southern Baptists. Now, this is my opportunity to say a little bit more about Beth Moore. Didn't I? How clever. I didn't plan it that way. But let's just look at a little more of Beth Moore, if you can take any more. Now, an article came back out some time ago from the ReformationCharlotte.org site, and it was Beth Moore and Sam Alberry promoting gay activists, calling them brothers. It says, while we've been reporting on the apostasy of Beth Moore for years, many have been defending her. Beth Moore has been single-handedly leading the Southern Baptist Convention into a feminist, egalitarian direction, drawing the applause of many liberals and charismatics, from Dwight McKissick and Kyle Howard to Thabiti Anibawil. How about that? That's as good as I can do, folks. And Matt Chandler. However, Moore is now promoting homosexual activists from the newly created Evangelical Eunuch class, whose sole purpose is to change the mindset of the church on homosexuality to one that is affirming and open to unrepentant gays. Revoice Conference is just that, and this has happened some time ago. I'm sure most of you are familiar with Revoice Conference. It is a conference that tosses aside the historical, biblical view of sexuality in exchange for one that accepts dishonorable passions and vile affections as normal and unchanging, even in Christians. Wesley Hill, a Revoice speaker and advocate for gay celibate friendships, even those who cohabitate, posted the following: a very gay-looking picture of himself and another homosexual, Caleb Ackley, snuggled up where he wished Caleb a happy birthday. Here's where Beth Moore jumps in, and without a single question, she instantly affirms them as brothers and accepts them into her circles. She says, happy birthday, Caleb. I haven't met you, but if Sam, that's Sam Alberry, and Wesley love you, I do too. Wow, okay, so I may have collapsed to the floor in gratitude, accompanied by various expletives, or curse words. When I saw this, Beth Moore, like, honestly, you got to warn me before you do something like this. Beth Moore, glad to connect with you, Caleb. It should be proclaimed today, this is Caleb Ackley, and loudly and often with various rooftops, that I have so much respect and love for you, just for your information. Beth Moore, let me tell you right now, brother, that is not wasted on me. I'm having a bit of a season. Here I am getting a gift for your birthday. Thank you so much, Caleb. There's no question that Beth Moore has aligned herself with those who have deviated far from biblical orthodoxy. While she maligns Reformed and conservative theologians like Owen Strachan, saying that she would be terrified to be a woman that he approved of, simply because he affirms what the scriptures say about gender roles, she regularly aligns herself with false teachers. Some of these false teachers she's aligned herself with range from prosperity gospel charlatans such as Joel Osteen, Matt Crouch, and Hillsong's Brian Houston, to now homosexual activists from Revoice and Living Out. You know, I posted actually the other article from from the Capstone Report, and you know, some of the on the timeline, I had actually mentioned when somebody had commented about how far out she has gone these days, or for quite some time actually. I mentioned, and this is not news to most of your listeners, I'm sure, that she promotes ecumenism, that is, ecumenism with the Catholic Church, and Catholic mysticism, or contemplative spirituality, contemplative prayer. And I also mentioned, and let's not forget, partnering with Word Faith Heretic Joyce Meyer's conference. Now, people tend to excuse that, and I've actually heard this excuse, that by, you know, they've excused that by saying, well, she doesn't necessarily believe what Meyer believes, you know. I mean, just because she was there with her books and with her message alongside Joyce and the other two or three Word Faith heretical speakers doesn't mean that she believes in that stuff. Okay, well, well enough, good enough. Maybe she doesn't. But what does the scripture say? I put in my timeline, and by the way, I had known about Joyce Meyer for some time, but I was reminded by this article that she's also been with the Prosperity Gospel people like Joel Osteen, Matt Crouch, and Brian Houston. Well, maybe she doesn't believe what they believe, but boy, she sure hangs out with them, does she not? But then there was an article called Guilty by Association or Accessory to Heresy, and they reminded me of these verses that I put in my timeline concerning this article, and they are... Or actually, to finish my comment, let's not forget partnering with Word Faith Heretic Joyce Meyer's conference. People tend to excuse that by saying she doesn't necessarily believe what Meyer believes. What is she doing there, is my question. Actually, she is being an accessory to heresy. And I got that phrase, and I think it's a great one from this other article, which I'm going to comment on in a minute. I also was reminded of these verses, which I got from that article. 2 John 10:11. And Romans 16, 17. And I want to quote them right now from this article. Okay. The article says, these people who partner with them should be charged with accessory to heresy. Saying that someone is wrong for partnering with heretics is no more guilt by association than driving a getaway car for a murderer is. In other words, people will say, oh, that's just guilt by association. Oh, well, just because she was at this conference where Joyce Meyer, you're just making her guilty by associating because she's there associating. And this man is driving that argument into the ground by saying, guilt by association would better be defined as someone who happens to personally know a heretic and gets branded a heretic for no other reason than that they know that person. Is this argument supported by Scripture that, you know, you shouldn't be partnering together with people who are known heretics? And he says, well, yes. 2 John 2:10 through 11 is clear in laying this out. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, that is true doctrinal teaching, the essential doctrines of the faith, do not receive him into your house or give him any greeting, for whoever greets him takes part in his wicked works. And you know, the early church used to meet in houses. So it's not just a matter of some cultist coming by your house, and if you had the faith and understanding of Scripture that you thought you might be able to lead them to the truth and out of that cult, well, I would say that would, I believe the Lord would allow that. But if a person does not know the Scripture well and they endeavors to do such a mission of mercy, they may end up in the cult rather than bringing the person out of the cult. So it's not always wise to let people into your home. But the 2 John 2:10 and 11 verse is actually talking in regards to the house churches. You know, if anyone comes to you, does not bring this teaching, do not receive them into your house or give him any greeting. For whoever greets him takes part in his, you know, don't, hey, come on into our home house church here and, oh, let's hear what you have to say. What interesting little tidbits might you have of theological error and heresy? Walter Martin used to say, you know, you don't ask your plumber in the middle of the night if you have a leak, what if he brings the doctrine of Christ, you know, you just need to fix your leak. And so, in other words, he was pointing out that this was regards to house churches, not so much in your own home if someone happened to come in there that, who was a heretic. Anyway, he goes on to say in Romans 16, 17, this similarly commands that we avoid false teachers, which would mean not promoting their books or speaking at their conferences. That scripture is, I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. Avoid them. And isn't it funny, when you take a stand for truth and you speak out the truth in love, you often are accused of creating a division. And why is that? Because the majority of Christians, it seems this day, are motivated by their personal experiences, their misinterpretations of Scripture, and their heretical beliefs that they've now embraced because of the many Christians now in the mega churches, etc., who do not study sound doctrine and who are because of their itching ears, heaping up to themselves false teachers. Now, this is a big problem, and it is one that makes those who do want to stand for truth, of course, the targets of those who would say, oh, you're creating division. No, no. Your heretical ear-tickling teacher is the one who's caused the division because he's gone away from the truth of Scripture. So the article goes on, and it says, so it is clear from Scripture that we are not permitted to partner with heretics or give them any credence as sound teachers, lest we take part in their wicked works. To do so would be to violate the clear command of Scripture, and it is definitely valid to raise concerns about anyone who violates this command. Now, that article was by Brandon Hines and called Guilty by Association or Accessory to Heresy. It's from the Pulpit and Pen site, which, of course, is a very good discernment site. Let me actually read the first part of that article. I still have some time left before we move on, because there's some other good information, some of it pertaining to the Southern Baptist Convention folks. Almost every time someone points out the evils of partnering with heretics, sharing the stage with false teachers, or in any way violating the one degree of separation rule clearly laid out in Scripture, the complaints of labeling them guilty by association begin. This never fails. If someone were to mention that John Piper is compromising the gospel by partnering with false teachers like Rick Warren and Beth Moore, his supporters would come unglued. If a brother critiques Ronnie Floyd for speaking at arch-heretic Mike Bickle's Holy Spirit Blaspheming International House of Prayer, or IHOP, he'd more likely get an earful from those defending him, insisting he's being accused of guilt by association. And you might as well throw in Francis Chan as well, who went three times to speak at the IHOP convention, even though he was warned before he went the first time that Mike Bickle was a false prophet. And he just laughed it off and said, I love Mike Bickle. You know, those poor deluded people trying to warn me. It says, if a sister critiques Ravi Zacharias for hand-holding with Word of Faith Patrix and spiritual mama Joyce Meyer or prosperity gospel tycoon Christine Kane, she'd be shut down with the same ridiculous argument. And by the way, I do remember, I saw the video when Ravi Zacharias was on Joyce Meyer's program. I remember him announcing that she was such a terrific Bible teacher. I'm not making this stuff up. This is not the Babylonian Bee you're listening to here. Ravi Zacharias, I kid you not, in front of God and everybody, and everybody watching Joyce Meyer's program, said, and you know, that's not an exact quote, what I just said, but basically, he said that she was just, you know, a really good, a great Bible teacher, something along that lines. All right, just enough to curl your hair, doesn't it? And by the way, Christine Kane Joyce Meyer was Christine Kane's mentor, by the way, I found out. A friend of mine has asked me to pray for a friend of hers who's now hooked up with Christine Kane, whose father's a pastor of a church out in Southern California, and she's, of course, grieved by it because she knows these folks personally. Anyway, this argument about this is just guilty by association charges, it says, is this argument biblical? It says, in United States law, there's a crime called accessory. This term is defined by yourdictionary.com as one who knowingly assists a lawbreaker in the commission of a crime but does not actually participate in that crime. In the courtroom, to say that this is guilt by association wouldn't last 5 minutes. A certain homicide investigator, when asked if this would be a good defense made by said accessory's lawyer, said it wouldn't get anyone off. In fact, he'd probably get laughed out of the courtroom. Thank goodness that modern evangelical discernment does not create United States law. Otherwise, it would get people off. You see, to attract a crowd for a heretic by speaking with them, or to give them a pulpit from which to speak, is assisting a heretic in the spreading of heresy, even if you don't take part in the heresy yourself. So if heresy were a judicial crime, this is a hypothetical, I am not a theocratist, he says, then these people who do partner with them would be charged with accessory to heresy. And this is the quote I mentioned earlier. So saying someone is wrong for partnering with heretics is no more guilt by association than driving a getaway car for a murderer is. Guilt by association would be better defined, and I'm repeating myself, as someone who happens to personally know a heretic and gets branded a heretic for no other reason than they know that person. And I've known many heretics, and I don't consider myself a heretic just because I've known them, because I do not believe what they teach and would be quick to censure such teaching. Now, these are excellent articles. This is a heavy-duty topic because we're seeing the apostasy of the church just exponentially, you know, from every direction, of course. And that's why I'm thankful that I have this platform. I'm thankful it also helps me to vent because of the frustrations. And, you know, when I'm falsely accused, or when I am seen as somebody who's stirring up trouble, or I'm somebody who I'm causing a division, you know, I'm thankful that anybody who's willing to do their homework. I had a pastor tell me one time, hey, just because just because Beth Moore goes there, you know, he used the example of for the Promise Keepers. Well, I went to Promise Keepers, and there was people there who taught things that I didn't agree with, but just because I was there didn't mean I believe what they said. Well, that wasn't a very good example, really, to use in this matter, because Beth Moore went directly to a known heretics conference and participated in it. So as you see the difference. But anyway, I unfortunately was not able to get through to that pastor, never have been really able to get through with these ideas that of warning, you know, out of love and out of concern for him and his flock. But, you know, we are called to do the best we can, aren't we? And to serve the Lord the best we can, to speak the truth in love, and that's what I attempt to do. So we will close out there. We will continue on with some more articles in this same vein. Looks like it's hard for us to get away from that Christianity today, isn't it? I did 5 episodes of 5 podcasts before, and now I'll probably be doing another 5 or 6 more before it's all over. But God bless you all. Thank you for tuning in. I hope you will be with us next time. Good night.